Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
What's happening? Got a lot to do today. Let's go. Tiki and Tierney Company from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. What's good? Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Hope everybody is having a great Thursday. Week two tonight. Big one for Baker and the Browns. Burrow trying to get number one for his crew. NBA tonight. Game two, Heat and the Celtics off the game one thriller. Bam with an all-time rejection. Been pouring over the golf. You know that. U.S. Open underway, wing foot. And I got to tell you, Teak. So we had Shane Bacon. Teak was out yesterday. I had Shane Bacon on the show yesterday. And he thought that, now I guess this could still happen, but it would kind of represent a bit of an implosion from world-class guys who have multiple majors here. Shane thought that the winning score at Wingfoot would be over par. Okay?
Yeah. Why? What made him think that? The weather's not supposed to, I mean.
The greens.
Yeah, it's always tough up there. I played Wingfoot years ago because the mayors are members, and I think we used to have some sort of outing or some event that we used to go to up there.
Go hack it up.
Yeah, go hack it up. Make it look bad. The scorecards are, you know, burnable.
Throw them out.
Exactly.
Throw them out.
I don't know about that. I mean, these guys, they're familiar with the course. I mean, they don't play it frequently, but they're familiar enough with it that I don't know. That's an interesting thought. We'll see.
You know, it's just he was walking the course. I know the third hole is a beast, a par three that, you know, some guys are even thinking about laying up on. But the bottom line is it's played a little softer than Shane thought, really than everybody thought. Justin Thomas, you know, 5-under 65. You got Patrick Reed, 4-under 66. Tiger was actually humming, and he got he went 3 over on his last two. He duffed a chip. Tiger's plus three, but he's, you know, he's there. Phil was airmailing shots left and right out of the chute, but he went birdie still. Had a couple of bogeys. So, listen, it's a major. You know we love our golf. We're all over it, and we'll keep an eye on as things. Ricky Fowler just drained a birdie. He's modest, too. But the big story, all right, and we'll hit it all, obviously. The hoops, as I said, week two tonight, inbounds, out of bounds, some good guests as well. We love brutal honesty. We love candor. We love and appreciate somebody that is raw. And there is nobody that is more raw and more candid than our buddy Bruce Arians, who's been on the show at least 7, 8, maybe 10 times at this point over the 7+ years we've been working together. We've had to dump him every time because he drops a couple of curses. We love him. He's great. He's also going down a little bit of an interesting road here. It was one thing when he shredded, or at least was painfully honest in his post-game assessments of Jameis Winston a year ago. He's doing the same thing with Tom Brady, and that's starting to make a little noise. Let's get some reaction to this before we actually hear from Bruce and Brett Favre weighed in. Did you think he was off base, or not off base,
no,
but a little too aggressive with Brady? No.
Look, Tom Brady is a grown old man. He's 43 years old. He's seen a lot in his National Football League career. Now, maybe he's been treated with kid gloves publicly, in New England, but there is no chance that Bill Belichick or Josh McDaniels, for that matter, have just let Tom Brady slide when he's made mistakes over the years. And we want to glamorize him and make it seem like he's been perfect all the time. He's not. He makes mistakes, and he knows it. It just doesn't get publicly, you know, put out there and or put on blast, as they like to say. But Bruce Arians is that type of coach who is going to tell you exactly what he feels. It's mm-hmm. what it's what makes him respected in his locker room. He's not hiding anything. He's not trying to, you know, play, I don't know, favorites or shenanigans or whatever it is with his players. He just tells it exactly how it is. And Tom Brady is coming to realize that. I love what Bruce Arians did with Tom Brady, because not only does it that make him accountable, because the mistakes that he made were glaring. And, you know, we have the sound of him talking about his interceptions, including the pick six. It was no need for him to try to be cute and throw that outlet pass to the right, which got intercepted by Janoris Jenkins and taken back to the house, because they had the screen on the other side. They would have went to the house.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he was right to call him out, because I think he was, first of all, upset. And unlike Bill Belichick, when Bruce Arians is upset, he lets you know.
He lets you know. And we like that. You know, it's one of the, it's really, he's really one of the, at this point, between the analytics, between, you look at baseball and the managers. I mean, yeah, they're managers, but you know, things are floating downward mm-hmm. from the front office. Who's playing? Obviously heavily influenced by the analytics, as I said. You know, Bruce is an old school guy, and so is Tom Brady. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm with you. I don't think it's a big deal. And I wouldn't be surprised. Listen, the Bucs are trying to reverse and eventually eradicate this losing stench that has engulfed the franchise for the better part of a decade. I mean, they've been bad.
Yeah.
They've been bad. They've had multiple coaches, you know, multiple failed first-round picks, multiple quarterbacks. So I wouldn't be surprised if Tom Brady and Bruce have an understanding where Bruce, I don't know if he quite asked him, like, hey, Tom, is it okay? I mean, it's more probably more.
Yeah. No, there's no chance he asked him if it's okay. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I'd be
I know what you mean, though. Yep.
Definitely more gruff than that, the approach. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's an understanding. Hey, Tom, listen, I'm going to coach you the way I'm coaching everybody. Yep. And your thick skin and the way you handle that will go a long way in helping us to get to where we want to go. If guys see you, you know, being coached up and being coached hard and being okay with it and getting better and being resilient, then that's going to further permeate our locker room. So I think this is all part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting when Favre weighs in. So let's take you on the ride. Everybody can kind of judge for themselves. This is first up on Monday after what was on Tiki Chronicle, that you just watched the game. He was bad. A rough week one Tampa debut for Tom and Bruce Arians. He was pretty honest.
He looked like Tom Brady in practice all the time. So it's kind of unusual to see that in the ball game, because they didn't do the things that we didn't get ready for. Everything they did, we thought we were ready for. And he knew he didn't play very well. It's not what he expects from himself, nor do we expect. So yeah, I wouldn't anticipate him to have a little more grit and a little more determination this week. Mm.
Okay, so pretty straightforward stuff. The only thing that you and I reacted to yesterday was the word grit. It's mm-hmm. like, is there an implication there that Tom was soft? Or probably not, but that was still an interesting choice.
Yeah, you can't read too much into words that Bruce Arians is talking in that moment. I hear what people are trying to make of that. I don't think he was criticizing him, saying he's not tough enough, because
mm-hmm.
that's what people wanted to say. Tom Brady's not tough enough. Are you kidding?
I hear you.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's not what Bruce Arians was saying. I don't think. I mean, maybe he was, but my guess is that's not what his intention was.
I agree. I just pointed out this is us doing our job. The mm-hmm. choice of the word grit was something that has never been thrown out there about Tom.
No.
So that's why we kind of illuminate that. But I agree. I don't think that's a huge. We don't need to maybe make a story where there's not. So that was on Monday after a rough Sunday. On Tuesday, Brett Favre on SiriusXM. Brett Favre weighed in. Go ahead.
I just don't see any good that comes out of calling your quarterback out. And we're not just talking about a quarterback. We're talking about the biggest acquisition maybe in football history. I don't care if he's 43 or 33 or 21. Say collectively, we got to play better from quarterback to kicker. We got to play better. We got to coach better. True or not, I think the last person you want to call out after the first game of the year is Tom Brady. Maybe they had a mutual truce going into the game, going into the season. Hey, I'm going to be hard on you. I want the guys to know that we're going to treat you the same, even though technically I'm not. So are you okay with it? If they have that truce, great. If not, I think you're barking up the wrong tree.
Okay, so that was Brett maybe hedging his bet a little bit at the end, something that I brought up before. I was on SiriusXM. That was on Tuesday. So Monday rolls into Tuesday. Tuesday rolls into Wednesday. And on Wednesday, Bruce Arians responded to Favre's comments.
Tom and I are fine, so I don't really care what other people think. So it's just what he and I think. And, you know, we left the stadium fine. We showed up today fine. So there ain't nothing to talk about.
All right, that's squashed.
Yeah,
that's
he's laughing about it.
We're good.
Again, it's not a story. Brett Favre is not in that locker room. Brett Favre is not having conversations with Tom Brady. He doesn't know that it's going to offend Tom. I mean, it's actually kind of insulting to the relationship of Bruce Arians and Tom Brady to intimate something else. I mean, we know what Bruce's history is with quarterbacks. He's going to bring them in tight. He's going to know them as well as any other player on the team. And it's why he has done so well historically with quarterbacks, because they can trust them. And when he says something publicly, whether it's good or in this case bad, you know, there's no like agenda. There's no underlying, I don't know, a desire to harm. In fact, through all that Jameis Winston went through last season with Bruce Arians, he actually protected him in so many ways by the things that he said. He would criticize him, but then he would also illuminate, you know, why he thought those things went wrong, or why, you know, he had a miscommunication, or, you know, this interception was someone else's fault, even though it goes on Jameis's ledger. That's Bruce, man. He's going to keep it real, and we should appreciate that. And to be honest with you, I know that Tom Brady appreciates that.
I think Tom certainly appreciates it now. Again, and Brett said this at the end, and I believe it. When you get somebody like that, you know, whether it's a veteran TV broadcaster who, you know, changes networks, or, you know, I don't know, an aging actor with an iconic director, with an iconic director as well. There's just an understanding, because there's just so much that's been accomplished that, you know, you might not treat them differently per se, but there's a depth, you would think, that would be there from the beginning, based on the bodies, plural, of work that you don't need to work hard to get to, because you know what the other person's about.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, and I'm not making this a story now. I'm going to roll this up and I'm going to put it in the corner of my desk, and if I have to get back to it at some point, I will. The only thing that's worth watching is if this is the season where Tommy does hit the wall,
yeah,
and it's possible, and then Bruce doesn't pull back, now you got a situation where Tom Brady is being criticized with a frequency and with a ferocity, for lack of a better word, or a rawness, than he's ever had in his life.
Yeah.
And we don't know how he's going to compartmentalize that if it comes to fruition. That's what's worth watching.
True. But again, we're talking about one game in a brand new offense where he's asked to throw the ball downfield at a significant higher clip than he's ever been asked to do that in New England. And he made some mistakes. One was kind of not his fault. His hand got tipped and the ball sailed, which was his first interception. The second one, he was trying to be cute and with his outlet pass, because, you know, all these quarterbacks have outlets, you know, for a lot of players, or a lot of quarterbacks, it's just a bubble screen or something like that. Mm-hmm. But for Tom Brady, it was an out route. It was ill-advised. It got picked off and gone and taken to the house. The Saints were the better team anyways, to be honest with you. So it's hard to fault, harshly that they lost this game, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, without having had any dry runs in real time with Tom Brady. So, again, is this a story now? Not really. Is it interesting? Maybe a little bit. What's more interesting is what happens going forward. How does Tom Brady respond?
Yep.
He's never started a season 0-2. And obviously all of that was with New England. So their teams were just better situated for this situation. But Tom has never been one to hit a wall and then stay stuck on the wall. He always finds a way to rebound. And that's what I expect. And now if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And maybe it portends the end, as we've been speculating for the last couple of years. But I don't think we're ready to see that yet.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It would be ironic, though, you know, the way, at least what's been reported out there, and, you know, Giselle's chimed in a few times. And this is, I mean, you don't need to be a brain surgeon to figure this out, to deduce that, you know, at the end, you know, Tom was a little tired of not getting the praise, you know. Come on, he's the greatest quarterback of all time. Just give me a little love here, a little love. And it's interesting because you and I have talked about how effusive, at least early in camp, Belichick has been toward Cam Newton, yeah. You know. And now Russell Wilson, something we'll get into a little bit later. But it would be ironic, it would be interesting, if all those years at the end, at least, the chasing and maybe the craving of praise, if his last year or two, he's fending off criticism. Wouldn't that be a twist?
Yeah, it would be. It would be interesting. But if he deserves it, then he deserves it.
I hear you.
And that is what it is.
Everybody
faces criticism, not just because you're the GOAT, but because it's a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mentioned this before. So as Brady's new coach is levying the criticisms, Brady's old coach is waxing poetic, and he ain't wrong about the most underrated player in the history of sport. We got Belichick talking about Russell Wilson. Is this all from the heart, directly about Russell, possibly, or is there a little motivation to maybe zing Brady, as some people have speculated? It's a little game. Who knows? But we'll get into that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, the sweat's back. It is great. And I don't mean because you're running or because you're lifted or because you're working out. The sweat's back because you got some money on some games. You got some action on some lineups here. Nice seeing football back. No better place to get on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. Now, to add some excitement to this week's action, DraftKings has millions of dollars in total prizes, and it's all up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, what are you waiting for? Head to the App Store now. Get your phone. Pop it in. It's free, obviously, because you don't want to miss this. Draft your lineup, all right? Feel the sweat like never before. Every run, every pass, every catch. You got to deal with some injuries, obviously, some projections. It all means more with DraftKings. Very simple. Pick the lineup, stay under the salary cap, so you've got to be a real GM, right? And see how you stack up against the competition. Download the app and use code Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y, for a limited time. Download the app. That's Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. And for a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes. Incredible stuff going on. A lot of money to get. Don't miss out on the Week 2 action. It's underway beginning tonight. Enter code Tierney to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y, only at DraftKings. That's DraftKings making it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. DraftKings.com. Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. Thursday, Week 2 tonight, Bengals and the Browns. Nah, no pressure, Baker. It's all good. It's 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. It's our toll-free number. Did you know that Geico offers an extra 15% on car insurance right now? Motorcycle and RV policies as well. That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So, what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more.
Said no one ever, BT.
Exactly.
No pressure, Baker. Ever in your life. There's never been no pressure on Baker Mayfield.
You're good, buddy. You just keep doing what you're doing, Baker. It's all coming together, buddy. We'll see if we get to that game a little bit later. We'll get to the NBA game tonight as well. Game 2, the Heat and the Celtics. No way it tops Game 1. We just hope that it's 80% match of Game 1. Game 1 was insane. Golf has obviously happened in Wingfoot, great Fable venue in New York, not too far from where Teak and I are in New Jersey.
Justin Thomas, leader in the clubhouse,
yeah,
right? Yep,
yeah.
5 under.
Yep, -5, put up a 65. He played very well. Mm-hmm. Patrick Reed has been quiet this summer. He was a 66. We'll give you the periodical updates. The thumbnail sketch, Tiger +3, and Phil's sometimes really good, sometimes really bad, hovering between one over and even par.
Yep.
Okay, so, you know, one of the things in the world today, Teak, it's so hyperbolic. You know, I often lament on the misusage of the word great, or the overuse, the stretch of the word great. You know, social media makes superstars out of good players. You know what I mean? It makes good players out of average players. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it's very rare that in the year 2020 that a true, you know, transcendent, all-time superstar is still looked over and underappreciated. But that's where we are with Russell Wilson, and it seems as if Bill Belichick is trying to put an end to that. Here's the coach.
This guy's a tremendous player. Honestly, I think he's you know, in a way, maybe underrated by the media or the fans. I don't know. But, I mean, I don't really see anybody better than this player. He can do everything. He's got, obviously, great leadership, playmaking skills. He plays very well in the most critical situations in the game with his decision-making, running, passing. His passing numbers are extraordinary. You can put him up against anybody since he's been in the league, literally anybody, in almost any category, or in any category, really. You know, he's got a great ability to do the right thing at the right time. He has tremendous vision and sees the field extremely well. I don't think there's a better deep ball passer in the league in terms of decision-making and accuracy.
I mean, listen, he's not swiping right. If a picture of Russell Wilson comes up on Belichick's phone, I think he wants to date him.
Yeah,
take
right?
him out to dinner, get the candles, get the wine.
Interestingly, though, he never kind of said his name. He always says that player, this player. I mean, he's specific in how he addresses people, talks about other teams' players and stuff like that.
But he never does that.
Of course
that
he never does.
Insane.
No, he never does, but maybe he doesn't want to be accused of tampering. I don't know. It's just weird how he never says his name. It's just odd. But we know exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about Russell, because Russell has been amazing, and we know he's consistently been amazing. Could this be gamesmanship for Bill Belichick and the Pats, and as they think about Russell Wilson's psyche, in a sense, maybe. But I think it's also
he's immune to that.
It is, but I think it's justified. I mean, we don't even need to go into Russell's numbers from last weekend. He completed 88.6% of his passes, for Christ's sake. That's just ridiculous. And so we know how good he's been. We've seen it over the years. He's got a championship and was a couple yards away from another. Probably should have been theirs as well. Against the Patriots, obviously. So look, you can't throw enough platitudes on Russell Wilson and say it's exaggeration, because he's just not – we don't talk about him enough.
Mm-hmm. We try to. I mean, every time he comes up, I don't know how many more times I can say he's the most underappreciated athlete in all the sports. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing else I could say that could bridge the gap, at least for me and for this show, of what he deserves versus what he actually gets.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. I'm gonna position it this way. Really curious how you answer this. Okay, so let's say I'm going to give you the last 30 years when you were still a little bit of a young guy, somewhat, but watching the game. Obviously, when you were playing, and now having been a broadcaster for a long time. Combining durability, combining toughness and moxie, combining big performance in big games and big moments, fourth quarter, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Combining leadership, combining highlight-inducing plays, and this is probably the most important one, doing more with less. Who would you rank ahead of Russell Wilson? Because for me, there's nobody.
Yeah, it's hard off the top of your head to think about that. But the only
no, it's
one
not. We know the great quarterback. It's not that hard.
But the only one that would get close, but he's been supplied with so much more, would be Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, it doesn't count. He's got a lot more. That's the whole point.
Because he's had such good talent around
and he's not durable.
Over the years. Well, he has been durable.
He's just missed some time.
Lately he's missed some time because he's 38 years old. He missed all of last season.
But he's always been nicked up.
But he's always played. But he's always played. Now, the difference, and this is the big biggest piece of the equation that you threw out, BD, is that Ben Roethlisberger has been surrounded by, if not elite, then pretty dang good offensive weapons at running back, at wide receiver, at tight end. Yeah. Whereas Russell Wilson's been, it's just a carousel of offensive linemen, and maybe there's a Pro Bowler in their wide receiver. He had a great running back in Marshawn Lynch, obviously. But other than that, who is the consistent Pro Bowler that Russell Wilson's played with? And the answer is not many.
No.
I think the only way to, fully allow or fully have Russell Wilson rise back to where he belongs in people's minds, like off the cuff, Russell Wilson, he's right at the top. The only way for that to happen is if he wins a championship again. And the reason I say that is because so much of that first championship that he won was, we talked about the defense in Seattle. We talked about how aggressive all those guys were in that secondary, how that defensive front seven was had, you know, three or four deep. They were interchangeable. It was the defensive led and Marshawn Lynch led. So it became less about Russell when he won that first championship. This Seahawks team is now all about Russell, but they haven't won a championship. So I think in order for us to fully appreciate him as a national consuming audience of the NFL, he's got to win a championship, and it's got to be on his shoulders, not the other side of the ball, or you just turned around and handed it off to your running back 30 times a game.
The guy should get the kind of reverential praise that Derek Jeter had. Like, mm-hmm. to me, that's the equivalent. You know, and by the way, you talk about at least the criteria that I laid out, and you know, whether it's durability, whether it's toughness, whether it's big game performance or big moments within game performance, whether it's leadership, whether it's doing more with less, et cetera. You know, Big Ben, you point out Le'Veon Bell, one of the best running backs the last 10 years, maybe more than that. AB, one of the best receivers the last 10 years, maybe more than that, et cetera, et cetera. Big Ben wasn't always a great leader. He had a mm-hmm. lot of moments where he went on the radio and he did those dopey morning hits where he threw some guys under the bus and some yeah. guys kind of looked at him with crooked eyes. Russell Wilson is the NFL's version of Derek Jeter.
True.
He is flawless. He is amazing.
Well, it depends. He's flawless.
And he is the best.
I think he's flawless from the outside. Let's not forget.
He's Jesus Christ. I mean, he's just a player.
But I am talking about as a player. Don't forget, there were moments where people inside that organization were saying he was corny.
And they're all gone.
That he was, you know, too close to ownership. Who is Russell Wilson? We don't really know. We know he's really good, but who the heck is he? We don't talk to him that way. And so, yeah, they're all gone now, but they were the lifeblood of that team. That defense was that's what won them the championship. It wasn't. I mean, it was kind of Russell Wilson. He didn't mess it up, but yeah. It wasn't necessarily Russell Wilson. It was how good their defense was. I mean, that game against the Broncos was ridiculous in MetLife Stadium. I mean, we talk about it all over and over and over again. Peyton Manning, you know, had no chance, right? No matter what they did, they had no chance against that Seattle defense. And so Russell Wilson has his championship, but it's not on his shoulders that he got it done.
I understand that, you know, and the point of emphasis about how he was perceived going back about 4 or 5 years ago as a teammate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, you call somebody corny, and there was also something out there that, and you know, the guys were saying he wasn't black enough, and that was coming out, which is...
I don't even know what that means.
I certainly have no idea. I'm just saying what they said.
Yeah, I know. I ignore that, though.
But of course, but think about that. If those are the two criticisms against you... you are flawless. Well,
true,
but there's nothing wrong with being corny.
Unless you're not perceived as one of the guys in the locker room. So, yeah, it's neither here nor there, because ultimately what matters is, are you available and consistently good on Sunday afternoons? And the answer to that question is an unequivocal yes, if you're a Seattle Seahawks fan or teammate or executive or whoever is rooting for Seattle. Russell Wilson has showed up, and he always shows up on Sunday afternoons.
Guy's amazing. You know, it's the best comparison that I can give you, because I keep going back to the Jeter reference, because Derek really was never even close to the best player in the game. Now, mm-hmm. if you were to filter through and get rid of all the steroids guys, suddenly Bonds is gone, and obviously A-Rod is gone, and Manny Ramirez is gone, guys from that era, that generation. But, you know, the reverence, it's like the strongest word that I have reverence for Russell Wilson. He is just consistent. I can't tell you, Teak, how many times where, especially when I was working on Sunday mornings, which I did for 7 years in a row, getting up at 4:30 in the morning, where Sunday night, sometimes I'd fall asleep. And sometimes I would miss, I mean, I'd record the game, but I'd miss like these heroics from Russell Wilson. There's nobody like him. There is nobody like him with a shoddy offensive line, a carousel of running backs. Now, Carson's pretty good, but he's had a lot of guys over the years. You know, receivers that he's probably made a little bit better than they really are. It's absolutely amazing. I love that Belichick did that. Pete Carroll, quite frankly, should do that a little bit more. It's good to hear that. You know, I know we want to be coy and play chess and, you know, X's and O's, and we got a game this week coming up. But from the greatest coach of all time to just to bestow him with that kind of praise, the depth in which he did, it's awesome. As a sports fan, I loved hearing it.
Yeah, he deserves it.
Yep. Okay. Let's get Axe update. Inbounds, out of bounds after that. Here's Axe update. What do you got there, Rich? A little golf, I hope. Go ahead, buddy. All right, going to get into inbounds, out of bounds in a moment here on Tiki and Tierney. Coming up next hour, we'll give you a little bit of a primer what we got. Obviously spent a lot of time on the Big Ten yesterday. Teak missed that, so I want to give him a chance to jump in on the college football. But more specifically, now the pressure, I told you this is going to happen, the peer pressure works both ways, good and bad. The peer pressure now for the Pac-12 to get back on the field. So we'll hit that coming up at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific. Reggie Miller with some harsh criticism of the Clippers. We've got that. And obviously week 2 begins tonight. Big one for the Browns, and we'll see what Joe Burrow's got as the rookie plays his second game. Really should have won week 1 if he would have had that 31-yard field goal that was the injury and then the miss. So we got a lot to get to, Tate, but now it seems like it's ready for a little inbounds, out of bounds. You good?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, how about this? So before the Steelers' week 1 game, a win, the team held the vote and decided as a group to wear a decal on their helmet of a black teenager killed by a police officer back in 2018. Now, despite the vote and team-wide decision, offensive lineman and former Army Ranger Al Villanueva covered up the decal with the name of a black soldier killed in Iraq. While Villanueva cleared the move with Mike Tomlin, teammates weren't informed, and Cam Hayward discussed it after the game.
I was surprised by what Al did, and, you know, you'll have to talk to him in the future. But, you know, in this country, we're given the freedoms to do and support those that mean a lot to us.
Ben Roethlisberger, by the way, said pretty much the same thing. So here's the angle, Teak. While his heart was in the right place, Villanueva should have cleared it with his teammates before making the swap.
No, I don't think so. I think that's out of bounds. You don't have to. It's a free country, as we all know, and as individuals in this free country, Villanueva has the right to do what feels most compelling to him. Now, I know that this social justice movement it's galvanizing, it's unifying, but it also can be divisive in some ways. And so I think there's no easy answer for this. And Marquise Pouncey has also decided to change the decal on the back of his helmet, stating that he would have preferred to have more information on the circumstances surrounding the shooting of Antoine Rose. And so, these are complicated measures that are trying to be injected into a sports platform. And while they're good intended, they're complicated. And it's not black or white. And I'm not saying that specifically. I'm just saying that because it's colloquially relevant. Mm-hmm. These aren't black and white issues. There's tons and tons of gray. And I think everyone should have the individual choice to do what they want. So out of bounds.
I'm going to say inbounds here, although everything you just said, I obviously agree with. The a couple things, at least with Pouncey, and this pertains to everyone that joins in a uniform movement, part of a team representing a message. You've got to educate yourself. You need to read up on it, whatever it might be. And if it's something that you're aligned with, by all means, go with it. If it's not, raise it amongst your teammates and have a discussion. But the reason I say inbounds here, there's a caveat, because I'm under the impression that this was agreed upon as a team. I don't know if it was so much a vote, like, you know, 37 yes or 53 yes, whatever it may have been. But this was talked about as a team, so that's when you should have raised it. Any reluctance or any misdirection there. I love what Villanueva did, because it is for our country, and it is our country where you can do that, which is what makes it our country, thank God. But it was a bit of a curveball. While he did run it by Mike Tomlin, you know, if you discuss this as 53 men and all of a sudden somebody does something different and you were not made aware of it, yes, they literally have the right to do that, but it's probably, and I'll put quotes around, the wrong way to do it without telling your teammates. There is a lot of shade of gray. I'm with you. And I feel you on your answer as well. I'm going to say inbounds, though, for the reasons I just identified.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teague. So yesterday, the NBA announced all NBA players here with Giannis, LeBron, Luka, Harden. Still throwing up bricks, by the way, if he's playing pickup somewhere. And Anthony Davis making the first team. Now, for LeBron, it was his NBA record 16th all-NBA selection. That's amazing. Congrats. And along with AD, the first time teammates made the first team since Nash and Amari did it back in 07 with the Suns, with D'Antoni. The second team consisted of CP3, who had a real renaissance season, Lillard, Siakam from the Raptors, Kawhi, and Jokic for the Nuggets. In or out, we do agree with each of the selections for first and second teams.
Yeah, I'll say inbounds. I mean, I'm sure I could make some sort of argument for someone else, but in a lot of ways, it's a popularity contest, and it's also a contest of those who have had the most success. And Giannis is a no-brainer as an MVP, LeBron, and we know what he did for the Lakers. And Anthony Davis, who a lot of people, you know, they look at as the second fiddle there. He's actually, you know, a much bigger part of that Lakers success than I think we even give him credit for, because of his defensive acumen. And he was runner-up the Defensive Player of the Year this year, who was Giannis. And Harden, as much as people criticize him for his postseason failures, he led the league in scoring again. I mean, he's exciting in the regular season. He can't get it done in the postseason. Yep. And we've detailed that significantly. And the second team, I mean, maybe because Kawhi took so many, you know, health days, I could have an argument there, but he's still Kawhi Leonard. So I'm going to say I'm inbounds of this.
Yeah, I mean, I could nitpick, and I think I will a little bit. I don't love it. I don't agree with each of the selections for the first and the second teams. I wouldn't have James Harden on the first team. I'd have Jason Tatum. Either on the first, probably on the second team. I would drop James Harden down to number two. There's another glaring. I don't know that Siakam needs to be on that second team, to be fair. That's a spot for Jason Tatum. Maybe that's a spot for Jimmy Butler, who finished on the third team. And Jimmy was only 21 votes behind Siakam for the second team, so it's relatively negligible. But the one thing that jumped out, I know the question's about the first two teams, but since the NBA went to three all-NBA teams, which I believe was 1988, I want to say is the year that that happened. You know how many times a player's averaged 30 points and had six assists and not made any of the three teams? You know how many times that's happened?
No.
None.
Wow.
Until Bradley Beal got hosed on
this. Yeah, that's a good point.
Bradley Beal's got to get some love. That team was bad. He kept them as relevant as anybody could keep them. I thought Bradley Beal got hosed. I thought Tatum was relegated to a status that he deserved higher, more than I should say. So, again, not going to go crazy, but, yeah, I believe that there were a few inconsistencies. I would have voted a little differently.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teague, our Yankees starting to perk up a little bit. Here we go. Bombers waking up, hitting bombs. Seven of them last night, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah, and backup catcher, who was filling in for Sanchez, hit three of them. Incredible. So the Yankees were terrible for a long chunk. The Yankees lost 15 of 20. Now, they had a lot of injuries. Stanton's back. Judge played last night. Their bullpen was banged up. Gleyber Torres has been banged up. They've had a lot of issues, but still, 15 out of 20 is bad. Since losing five straight, though, they've reeled off seven straight, and they beat a couple of teams that they have to beat, like the Blue Jays. They've scored 33 in the last two games against Toronto. So right now, the question is this. The way the Yankees are looking, Gerrit Cole looked very good again last night, second straight dominant start. As they get healthy, the Yankees are still a top three threat to come out of the American League.
Yeah, this is inbounds, BT. If they're healthy and they can outscore you, even if their pitching or their bullpen should falter, which I don't think happens as you get, you know, deeper into this season. Again, we're only 50 games in. And some teams are 50 games in. Some are not still, because like the Cardinals are only, I think, at 45 or so. But you're, again, roughly 50 games into a season. Think about that relative to a 182-game season. You're just starting to find your stride and what's working for you, especially if you're at a new location and a new pitching staff or a new pitching coach or whatever it may be. I think the Yankees will find their stride, and as they get healthy, of course they're a threat, because if you can outscore anyone and everyone, then you can go far. And I hope that that's the case. More importantly, I hope they stay healthy, obviously, because BT and I are Yankees fan, but absolutely inbounds here.
There's no doubt. This is absolutely inbounds for sure. Think about if I asked you this question before the start of the season. Hey, who's the best first baseman in New York? Oh, Pete Alonso, 53 home runs last year. The answer right now is Luke Voit, who leads the majors in 19 with an OPS that is trending toward 1,000.
That's right.
And if this keeps up, Luke Voit very well might steal the MVP. Obviously, Trout. There's obviously some other considerations. But Luke Voit's going to get votes, and he's going to finish top three. Right now, he's top three. Yanks are healthy. Yanks are flexing. They're not fully back. I want to see Judge hit some bombs and stay healthy for a while. And we'll see, you know, late the next soft tissue that Stanton pulls. But Garrett Cole settled in, which
don't
is
a, say that.
Well, it's on.
I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. I'm just saying, don't
I
say
hope
that.
Not. I hope not. They're fielding the ball. Clint Frazier's flexing a little bit, getting a lot of run.
LeMahieu, he goes yard every day. It feels like.
Teague, how Colorado let him go for what they
know.
Let him go for?
No idea.
DJ LeMahieu is one of the most professional hitters that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I really mean that. His the way he goes to right field, the way he works the count, he is a throwback dirtbag baseball player. I love him. And now he's taking advantage of the short porch. He's hitting bombs every night to right field. Inbounds. Here come the Yankees.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. So the NCAA announced yesterday that the college basketball season will begin on November 25th, just 2 weeks after the original November 10th expected date. Senior VP Dan Gavitt explained the decision. He chatted with Andy Gatt. Katz, here he is.
November 25th, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, is a date at which three-quarters of all Division I schools will have finish their fall semester, including exams, or at least release the general student body to finish the semester with virtual instruction and online exams. So our medical advisory group believes that provides the most optimal time period to start the season successfully when the campuses are far less populated and it's much more controlled environment.
Okay, Teague. So now the NCAA has also reduced a minimum number of games from 26, which is what it was, down to 13, sliced it in half. So, in or out, even in this uncertain season, 13 is too few games for a team to be eligible for the tournament.
Out of bounds, BT, and the answer is a simple one. If you are the NCAA and you can't put on a tournament or you don't have enough viable teams to go to the NCAA tournament, you're dead in the water. Your engine is sunk to the bottom of an abyss in the middle of the Pacific. They have to play the NCAA tournament. I don't care if you play eight games and you're good enough, you're going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
We know this, it's the lifeblood of the NCAA. It's the one championship that they control, the men's and women's NCAA men's basketball tournament. As we all know, the college football playoff is a different entity that puts that on. It's not even necessarily sanctioned by the NCAA. They need the NCAA basketball tournament. So out of bounds.
Yeah, man, I agree here. This one was very easy. You know, listen, it's not perfect. I'll give you that. It's not perfect. There's going to be some teams like there are. Every year there's a team that somehow, you know, after being largely irrelevant, wins 4 or 5 to finish the conference. I'm talking about the power conferences.
Yeah.
And they'll win the conference for the automatic berth, but they win a game or two, and they're on the fence, and they get favorable committee selection. They get in. Yeah, listen, 68, it's not going to be perfect here, but it's not like there's four teams in college football where if you play like 3 or 4 games, it's like, wow, that is not equitable.
Yeah.
If you play at least 13 games, we already know, at least on paper, for the most part, who's good. It won't be perfect, but it's a very imperfect calendar year. Matter of fact, it's a horrendous calendar year. So you do what you have to do to make the money and put the – you can't miss it 2 years in a row. Totally agree. If it's 13, you know, listen, even if it was 10, I would have said out of bounds. It is what it is, so out of bounds. I totally agree.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, well, speaking of college basketball, let's get to college football coming up next year. The Big Ten's back. The Pac-12 reportedly not too far behind, as we told you would be the case. Peer pressure.
Yep.
Could we actually have a legit season? A piecemealed, weird, all-over-the-map season, but a legit season. We'll get to that coming up next. Hour 2, straight up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.